Pray, and we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words, and thank you again for an opportunity to have them. What a great opportunity we have. And Father, we pray that we wouldn't take them lightly, and that we would just honor them and obey them, Lord, and believe them. And we pray that we would have hearts to believe your word, and that we would have eyes and ears to hear it, Lord, and a heart also to do it. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, the Bible says, I think we left off in verse 5, or we might have gotten a little bit further, verse 6, but we'll go ahead and read verse 5. The Bible says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." And last week we went through this business about being converted and becoming as a little child, as little children. And how a little child is in a state of innocence until that child has consciousness to the law of God. And that once this consciousness, once this child has received this consciousness that it's broken the law of God, that child then becomes dead in trespasses and sin. Okay? And folks, we went through that you're alive before that consciousness. You're alive before that consciousness, but you're dead after that consciousness comes to you. And that's found in Romans 7. We'll go ahead and read that one more time. Romans 7. The Bible says, this is Paul speaking, verse 9. The Bible says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me." Okay? So Paul was alive once without the law. Where there is the law, or sin is not imputed where there's no law, the Bible says. And so before Paul had gotten this consciousness of the law, he would have died. He'd have been with the Lord. All right? And he would have went through the great white judgment, and he would have been judged, and he would have been found innocent because he had no consciousness of that law. Okay? And so and that's what he says. So once he became conscious, he died. And so for a person to escape the curse of the law, and what is the curse of the law? That you cannot keep all of it. That's the curse of the law. And you're not going to be able to keep it all, and so you're cursed. And that's found in Galatians, Galatians 3:10. I know this is review, and we just keep going over this. It seems like the same stuff, but we need to get this. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Okay? So, in order for you to escape this judgment, in order for a person to escape that judgment, they have to be converted. And Jesus tells the disciples here, verse 3, "and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted." So the disciples they're disputing amongst themselves who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus says, you're not even going to get in until you're converted. And how are they going to get converted? They're going to get converted by believing the gospel. They're going to get converted by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's evident. The apostles believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They get the conversion in Acts. And so, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And how is this done? By receiving the gospel. By receiving the gospel. And how do you do that? You know how to do that, receive the gospel, right? You have to realize you're a sinner. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins, to pay for your sins. And you have to believe that Jesus Christ rose again the third day. And so, why do we have to do that? Because God commands that. That's a commandment. It's a commandment. And so once you're converted, you become as a little child again. And we went through that. Innocent, right? And that's what Jesus means here. We also went through how that everyone that is converted is considered greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Everyone. It's not reserved for one preacher down the way. It's not reserved for one Christian that lived a great life. It's reserved for everyone that's converted. That's what the Bible says, folks. It says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same. It says, whosoever is offered to all. The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So those that are converted are greatest. They're all greatest. And so our focus should be on Him. That's Jesus, who made it possible for men to be converted. Not on ourselves, who's going to be the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. He made it possible for everybody to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so, we went through a practical lesson about Jesus, what Jesus is talking about here, about offending one of the little ones that believe on Him, or that believe in Him. One of the little ones that believe in Jesus. And if we don't offend, folks, if we offend one of these little ones, we make Jesus very angry, so much so that He says it would be better for you to die a quick death than to go through what I'm going to put you through. And I don't care if you're a Christian, and I don't care if you're unsaved, you harm one of God's children, you are taking action against God, and He does not take that lightly. And that was the practical lesson we said we were going to go through the doctrinal stuff this week. And so verse 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. In the tribulation, folks, there are going to be people that believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know this because Jesus is coming back, 2 Thessalonians. He's coming back with His mighty angels, taking vengeance on those that know not God and that receive not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We went through that verse. And so there are going to be people that believe the gospel in the tribulation. And those people aren't going to get punished. They're going to be people that get saved in the tribulation, that are going to endure to the end. They're going to believe what Jesus says. They're going to escape the abomination of desolation. Their body's going to come through that tribulation. Jesus is going to come and save them, and they're going to get them through. Okay, but the tribulation is going to get very, very bad, folks. So much so that people will be trading their silver that they bought when the market came down for pigeon, or not pigeon, but dove doo-doo. 2 Kings. That shows you how the Lord values our silver. Hey, I buy silver when it goes down for somebody else, because I'm not going to be here when the tribulation comes, maybe I can help feed somebody and help them maybe get the, you know, live a little bit longer so they can get the gospel preached to them and they can believe it. But 2 Kings 6, verse 25. The Bible says, "And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver." And get this, folks, "and the fourth part of a cab." I thought it was always a cap, but it says cab. I don't know what a cab is. "The fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." Dove's poop is more expensive than a donkey's head, folks. There must be some great nutrition in that stuff. But, hey, you know what God said, folks, through Paul? Paul didn't say it. God said it through Paul. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 8. This is what God said through Paul. "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." In the tribulation, folks, bird poop is expensive. And it's going to be impossible. It's going to be impossible, folks, for a believer, one that believes on Jesus Christ, other than those that are sealed with the writer's inkhorn, but those that are believing on Jesus, it's going to be impossible for them to buy or sell anything without the mark of the beast. And those that truly believe the gospel will never, ever take the mark of the beast. Those that are trusting in Jesus will never, ever take that mark. They'll never do it. And you'll know. Those that take the mark, they really weren't trusting Jesus. Those that don't take the mark, they really were those that were trusting in Jesus. And those that don't take the mark, that are trusting in themselves, are going to get punished. They're going to get punished for not believing in Jesus when the Lord comes back. But those that truly believe, they're never going to take that mark, and so the only way that they're going to be able to survive is by the help of others, folks. They're going to have to rely on the Lord, and the only way they're going to get by is other people are going to have to help them. Or they make it out to Salem Petra when the abomination of desolation. But what about before that their time? What about before that time is for them to run? They're going to need help. They're going to need help. I don't know how some people are going to have to give to others during that time. I don't know. Maybe they stored up 2 years' supply. Maybe they stored up 3 years' supply before this doctrine came out where you have to take this mark. Who knows? Who knows how they're going to be able to have stuff to give to others? Maybe the 144,000 that are sealed with that writer's inkhorn. Maybe they're able to buy and sell and to help those Jews out. None of them seem like they die. Those 144,000, looks like they all get raptured out. And they don't die of starvation. Imagine that. God having his seal, devil having his seal, and you can't tell the two apart. So it looks as though that mark enables these 144,000 to buy and sell, and maybe they're helping these other Jews, or maybe they're helping some Jews, right? But notice, folks, it's not enough to help a believer. It's not enough just to help a believer in the tribulation. You can't help a believer in Buddha's name and expect the Lord's going to do anything for you. You can't help a believer in the Pope's name or in Allah's name and expect that God to do anything for you when he comes back. Matthew 18 says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name," verse 5, "receiveth me in my name." You're going to have to be a believer, folks. You're going to have to know Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to help His children. That's what the Bible's saying here. You have to do it in His name. And folks, do you realize how easy we have it here today? And how we don't help our fellow believers? And that's something. And you go into the tribulation. I'm going to say you go into the tribulation. Christians today are not going to enter into that tribulation. I don't believe that is true for one minute. We're getting out of here. But if you look into the tribulation and see how hard it's going to be for people to make it, and you think that everybody's just going to be helping each other out, you're going to have to be a believer, folks. You're going to have to be a believer, a true believer in Christ. Time is just going to be too tough. The time is going to be just too tough. And self-preservation is going to kick in. And you're not going to be able to part with that can of soup. Those people aren't going to be able to part with that Campbell's soup. They're not. Or that winter coat. Because if they don't have the mark, they know they're not going to be able to get anything else. Man, you got to think about that kind of stuff. I know we're not going in, so it doesn't matter, but hey, it matters enough for God to write it in His Bible. It matters enough for Him to want us to study about it. And there's a lot of principles and a lot of examples that we can get from Him telling these disciples, these Jewish disciples, what they're going to have to do, what they're going to go through. And so, someone that believes in Jesus, when they come to the door of those that claim to be believers, they haven't taken the mark. They claim to be believers. And they tell them to, hey, get a job, buddy. I have nothing for you. Guess what? Those people who claim to be a believer has just offended one of God's little children that believe in Him. He just offended them. And that's not going to go over too well with Jesus, folks, when He comes back. And that's found in Matthew 25. You've got the judgment of the nations there, but who makes up the nations, folks? People. Nations are going to be, whole nations, yeah, they'll be cast into hell. There will be some nations that none of the people helped the Jews. There are going to be some nations that some of the people did. And it looks like those nations are going to be preserved as a national status in the millennium. But not because of, not all of them, because of 2, 3, 4 people. People are being judged here at this judgment. And this is what he says. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Them. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch that ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart. Depart from me, ye cursed, in an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, and so, folks, people's hearts are going to be revealed. They're going to be revealed at the judgment of the nations on how they helped this Jew. Did you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I see you didn't take the mark, but you didn't receive these people, right? You didn't receive these people. So it's not enough for you not to take the mark. You have to believe in Jesus. Your heart has to be right with God, or it will never, folks, it will never be right with your fellow man. And I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. If you can't get right with God, you're not going to get right with your fellow man, your brother, your Jewish brother, national brother. Just isn't going to happen, folks. And so, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to receive a hungry, cold, thirsty, tired, sick, and imprisoned believer, whether they be a Jew or whether they be a Gentile. Believer. One that believes in me. And you're going to need to help them in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because if you help them in the name of Jesus and you've truly received Him and your heart is truly right with God, that is going to be made manifest in how you treat your fellow man. It's going to be made manifest. Verse 6, Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh. Folks, this world is in big trouble. It's in big trouble. And that nation of Israel, they're in big trouble, folks. They're in big trouble. Just think of all the offenses that this world is responsible for bringing on Christians throughout history. And just think about all the offenses that the nation of Israel brought upon Jesus. And those that believe in Jesus throughout history, and think about what's coming to this world. Matthew 24, verse 21. The Bible says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Okay? The world is already in trouble, but you don't have to be part of the problem, folks. Right? The world's already going to go into this tribulation. The whole world is. But people don't, you don't have to be part of the problem here. And, hey, when you have creatures, folks, coming out of the pit of hell, right, to hurt men, like what we find here in Revelation, go with me if you would to Revelation, remember that word woe, 18:7, woe unto the world. Revelation 8, we'll start in verse 13. And we'll start in verse 13. The Bible says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice." He's speaking, folks. That's how they're hearing him. They're not hearing his wings flap. I just threw that in there. I don't know why. "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." The Bible says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of this smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them that was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall the men seek death. They're going to wish that a millstone, folks, it'd be better for them that a millstone were hanged about their neck and their life was ended quickly than to go through what these people are going to have to go through here. And shall not find it. They're going to seek death and shall not find it. And shall desire to die. And death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. And we know the story. And it's a true story that's going to happen, folks. And so there's coming a time where men, they're going to wish that they could kill themselves, but they're not going to be able to. And it would be better for them that they were cast into the depths and sea with a millstone. Think about how fast you could die. How fast you could fall through the water with one of those things wrapped around your neck. Matthew chapter 18, verse 8. The Bible says, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast in everlasting fire." Okay, Jesus is getting ready to preach about hell, folks. Right? He's preaching about hell. And what he's getting ready to say here is that any pain that is inflicted upon you in this life, folks, is better than the lake of fire. And it's better than you getting put into hell. There is no hurt that you can bring upon yourself that comes close to what's beyond this life. Or those that cause offenses to themselves and or to others. You're better off taking a hacksaw, folks. I'm talking a hacksaw. Not a circular saw. A hacksaw. One with little tiny teeth that it takes you about an hour to get through your bones. You're better off taking a hacksaw to your hand or your foot without any drugs to relieve any pain. And you're better off lopping off your hand or foot if it wants to do something evil like run to the Antichrist to receive the mark for yourself, for your family, or turn in a brother, a national brother, a Jewish brother, that comes to your door. How you offend one of Jesus' believers, folks, is an offense unto yourself. It's an offense unto you. The Bible says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And so what you sow to a believer in Christ in the tribulation, it's an offense to them. And you're better off to hobble around the rest of your life with a self-inflicting wound than to bring evil upon one that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you use your hands and if you use your feet to offend one of the little ones, by doing that, you offend yourself. Because, hey, folks, Jesus has hands. And Jesus has feet. And his angels have hands. And his angels have feet. And those that offend the little ones, the ones that believe in Jesus Christ in the tribulation, Jesus is coming to get you with his hands and with his feet. Whether he uses an angel's feet, they're his. Whether he uses an angel's hands, they're his. He's going to cast you into the lake of fire and hell. And that's what he's going to do, folks, to those that offend, those that don't receive these little ones. Jesus said the lake of fire is far worse than whatever you think you can do to yourself. It's far worse. And you can prevent yourself from going there. That's what he's saying to them. You can prevent yourself from going there by taking that which is evil and getting it off of you. Get your heart right. Get your heart right. Verse 9. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it far from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Now can you imagine, folks, taking a pencil, a lead pencil? What if that's all you have? And putting it in your eye. Now, I'm not talking about with a sharp knife, folks. Think about it. Putting it in your eye, pulling out your eye and ripping it out of your eye socket. Imagine that. Jesus said, it's better for you to pluck your eye out than for you to look on one of Jesus' little ones and not have compassion on them. Hey, you see him thirsty? You see him thirsty and not use your hands and your feet to go to your storage area and get some water because you're not going to be able to find any water in a tribulation that won't poison you. What about the stuff you stored? Getting this person something to drink or something to eat or warm clothes that you have stored away or a blanket? Those in the tribulation, folks, they better get their heart right towards God. And if they do, their heart will be right towards their fellow man. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. There's a lot of stuff has to do with man that you're never going to get to unless you're right with God. You ever think about how humbling it would be to have no hand and no foot and one eye? You can't work? You got to depend on somebody? You can't provide for yourself? The Lord says it's better for you to humble yourself and depend on Him. And depend on Him than for you to be a proud person and offend one of His little children in the tribulation. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And we went through the practical lessons last week about offending a Christian. But this is the doctrinal portion of it. But if you're a proud person, you're going to offend one of the little ones. And so, in a tribulation person, they better be selfless. They better be selfless. And they better not offend others. Because you're becoming an offense to yourself. Look, if you would, to Proverbs, and we're almost done. Proverbs 4. You know, I try to look when I'm going through this stuff about the tribulation, you try to put yourself there because you know you ain't going to be there. You try to imagine every bad possible thing that these people are going to go through. And you know what? God is still wanting to have mercy on them. In the tribulation, He's given them every chance that they can get. Proverbs 4:23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That brother, that believer, that little one that believes in Jesus, your heart ain't right. Not going to impart life to them. You don't impart life to them, you really didn't believe on Jesus Christ. You didn't receive those little ones in the name of Jesus Christ. Your heart is not right with God. And so it says, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil, folks. Evil. It's evil to offend one of God's little ones. Verse 10. Take heed. Notice, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And so he takes, says, you're being warned. You better take heed. And so what does it mean to despise one of God's children? Well, let's think about this for a couple minutes. What if you see a woman on the street with a child? Put yourself in a tribulation and a man sees a woman on the street with a child. And imagine to yourself that it's cold outside and that you see this child doesn't have enough clothes and this woman doesn't have enough clothes. I'm talking a little baby child, folks. Baby. Or one like this big. And you see that this woman is homeless. And you don't offer your blanket that you got stored in the closet at home for warmth. And you see that they're hungry. They got nothing to eat, folks. It's going to be hard to get any food. And you don't go to the cupboard and take out a can of soup and give that woman and so she can feed her child. That's despising one of God's innocent children, folks. Think about that. That child dies. It's with God. Whether or not that woman has a mark on her forehead, whether or not she believes in Jesus Christ, you don't see that little child and help. That child in God's eyes is innocent. And that's offending one of these little ones. And that's verse 6 of Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoso shall offend, despising is offending. Or maybe a believer comes to your door in the middle of the night, somebody's door that they think they can get help from, and knocks, and you look out the window. And you look out the window and you see it's cold out there. And you see that there's a man outside the window with his whole family. Wife, all the way down. And he calls up. He says, hey, I'm a believer. He's knocking on the door. Let me in. My family's cold. We just need a place to stay for the night. We'll be gone in the morning. He's looking out the window and he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say anything. He knows he's got a couple years' supply of food in the house. He knows he's got water and clothing. And he knows that if he lets these in, that he's going to probably have to feed them. And he's probably going to have to give them some water. And he's probably going to have to give them some warm clothes so they can get through the next night. And he doesn't do anything. Despising one of these little ones, which is offending. Why? Because he didn't receive them. Verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. It's not about, folks, the Bible doesn't say what this offense is, but it says you don't receive them. You're offending them. You're despising them. Doesn't call for exact sin, but if you don't receive them, folks, you don't help them out. You're despising and you're offending. Again, in this age, we had better be careful of offending one of God's children. How? How do we offend one of God's child? We see a need, and we're able to provide for them, and we don't provide. That, my friend, is offending one of God's little children. Seeing a need, being able to help, and not helping. That's not receiving them, and that's despising them. And so we'll go ahead and stop there, and we'll get into this business about this angel stuff next week. But we'll go ahead and pray. Does anybody have any questions? We got 5 minutes left. Anybody have any questions? We'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And oh, that we would see the truths that you have, Lord, for not only your disciples, for not only everyone in the world, but for also the ones that believe on you, Lord. We're not above your laws, and we're not above your commandments and how you want us to treat people. We're not supposed to go around offending other Christians. And we pray that we wouldn't do that, Lord. We pray that you would give us grace to be able to help. Help those that we see are in need. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.